السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من لم يدع قول الزور والعمل به فليس لله حاجة أن يدع طعامه وشرابه. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers and our sisters who listen over receivers, last night in the majlis of zikr, I discussed to some extent the coming Ramadan and how there should be a preparation for Ramadan. Just as we have preparation for every other thing, in the same way there should be a preparation for this month of Ramadan, which is coming as a guest from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to shower upon us different kinds of bounties. The more we are going to show respect to this great month of Ramadan, the more our lives will be peaceful in the coming year. The more it will bring barakat and rahmat and mercy. The more it will bring happiness in our family life. The more it will bring barakat in our businesses. The more it will bring forgiveness of our sins from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But the unfortunate part is that Ramadan Sharif has also become one of those months now in our calendar which we take for granted. Muharram, Safar, Rabiul Awwal, and we say the ninth month is the month of Ramadan. So what must we do in the month of Ramadan? Just stay away from some food, drink and carnal desires, and the person believes that he has fulfilled the rites of fasting. And then what we witness in the remaining year after that, in the lives of those people who have done only that much, is that there is no change in anything else. The lifestyles remain the same. The family problems and squabbles remain the same. The taking of interest and giving of interest remains the same. The watching of TVs and movies of the haram kind, everything remains the same. No change comes in the person's life. So that is actually the curse of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the curse of Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And when Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam curses, that means it's the curse of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And the Ameen that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said on that curse, that that person must be destroyed. In other words, his life must become miserable. Destruction in his life. Now we look at only wealth and say that no, the person's wealth increased, his properties increased, his assets increased. But that is not what is referred to. The person's assets and everything can increase. But what has it brought in the person's life? Any kind of peace and happiness, or restlessness, anxieties, worries and problems? So therefore, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says Ameen on that curse, and as Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam is giving the curse, or he is saying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says destruction, so we can understand that that person cannot succeed after that. Success is not only an increase of wealth and properties. When Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala becomes happy and pleased and then he gives an increase, then it is a rahmat, then it's a mercy. But if he is giving it out of his anger, then it is not rahmat, it is not mercy. Now how will we know that he is giving it out of his anger or he is giving it out of his mercy? When Allah Ta'ala is giving it out of His mercy, then that person will have obedience to Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his life. And that obedience will then bring that sukoon, that tranquility, that peace. And if that person is being given with the anger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then it is just like how we feed our rats. But those rats are not being fed because we love those rats. They are being fed so that they may be trapped. So this month of Ramadan, we should not be negligent. If there is a wedding that is in the family, then we say preparations are taking place. Now preparation, they are preparing for the hall, the bride, and sometimes the bride and the groom without being married. They're not yet bride and bridegroom. There's just a proposal that has taken place, just an engagement that has taken place. But in so many cases we hear that they are in Dubai and they are in this city and that city, gone for shopping, and they are gone to make preparation for the wedding that is still going to take place. Inna lillah, when we are going to start on the wrong footing, then who do we blame after that for all the problems that we face in our marriages? But nevertheless, if the person is preparing in the right way also, we will say that the person is saying that we must make arrangement, so many people have to be accommodated, so they're hiring a hall or they're putting up a tent, or the clothes have to be purchased, the cook has to be hired, and everything has to be planned. Now all these plannings that are undertaken, all these preparations that are being undertaken, for what are they being undertaken? Is that the means, or are those the objectives? Is the tent the objective? Are the chairs the objective? Is the food the objective? Those clothes and those gowns and everything else, is that the objective? The objective is the nikah. If everything is prepared but there's no nikah, then we will say that the person wasted his good time. So just as they make a lot of preparation and it is for the purpose of nikah, in the same way there must be a preparation. Not only purchasing extra groceries for the month of Ramadan, extra cooking and baking and everything else, and planning from now for what is going to be worn on the day of Eid. Ramadan hasn't started and they're talking about Eid day, and the preparation for that Eid day. What is the preparation for that Eid day? What kind of clothes the person is going to wear? So then we have lost sight of the objective. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, kutiba alaykumus siyamu kama kutiba alalladhina min qablikum, la'allakum tattaqoon. Now in the whole month of Ramadan you will listen to this ayat from different speakers, because that is the objective, la'allakum tattaqoon, so that we may get taqwa in our lives. Now Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at his life, especially in the month of Ramadan, how intense his ibadat used to become. And as I mentioned last night also, that for those people whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given a heart which is connected with him and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a heart which is beating with the love of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a heart which has got some kind of light and noor in it, some kind of ability to receive from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, or to experience that noor and light that is on the outside, then the person will understand that there is a fragrance of Ramadan already in the air. Whether we like it or not, whether we are smelling it or not, whether we are getting that fragrance or not, but those who are Allah walas, they get the fragrance long before the month of Ramadan comes. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in his dua, which you have been listening many times, Allahumma barik lana fi rajab wa sha'ban wa balighna ramadan. So you can see right from the month of Rajab, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is awaiting the month of Ramadan. They used to look forward to life in the month of Ramadan, knowing that the doors of Jannat are open. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's doors of mercy are open. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala causes the evil shayateen and the devils, the mischievous ones, to be all chained up. So the only thing that a person has to fight against now in the month of Ramadan is his nafs, his ego and his passions and his desires, that's all. But shaitan, who also goads the person, encourages the person and leads the person to evil, Allah ta'ala has them chained up. There is a preparation right from day one. Jannat is decorated right from one Ramadan to the next Ramadan. After one Ramadan ends, then according to the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the gist of which is that decoration of that jannat takes place until the next month of Ramadan, for no other reason except for the entry of the month of Ramadan. Now if that is the value in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala of that Ramadan month, that jannat is being decorated for the whole year, just for the entry of the month of Ramadan, then can any believer after that, a true believer in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, be negligent in that Mubarak month? But nothing else seems to change in our lives in that Mubarak month. In the first place, we are not even anxious, desirous, or looking forward to life in the month of Ramadan. Many of us consider it as a great burden that now we will have to fast, and there will be a big change in our program of eating and drinking. And many homes, they will now put a kafan over that shaitan box. That kafan will remain there until the end of Ramadan. So there will be no life in that home, because they say respect of the month of Ramadan, that's all. So we have to be very, very much on guard. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is very merciful, very forgiving, very kind, and He wants us to benefit from these gifts of His. Therefore, He is sending it as a very, very special gift to us. Ramadan is not a burden. Ramadan is not some burden upon the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And therefore, to lighten that burden, whoever considers it as a burden, then to lighten that burden, in inverted commas, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions very beautifully in the Quran Sharif, the whole purpose and objective of this fast, and He says, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu. Hazrat Khaja Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi says that whenever an ayat of the Quran Sharif begins with Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, then it means that straight away the person must get up. He must be alert. He must get up from his slumber and his sleep. He must show no negligence, no indifference. It is a command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that is coming with regards to the doing of something or abstinence from something. Whenever Allah ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, He says that there is definitely some command, some message that is coming from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to those who have believed, to do something or to stay away from something. As Jafar Sadiq radiyallahu anhu, he says that in this beautiful word, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, this beautiful address, when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala addresses the believers and says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, there's great love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in it. That the person truly, he believes that my Allah, who is most merciful, most kind, most wise, and He is the one who is my creator, He is the one who I truly love. So in this hukam of His, the person begins to get great enjoyment that my Allah, who is my beloved, is ordering me to do something. In this world of illicit beloveds and where love relationships of the haram kind are in vogue and in abundance, and with every now and again we hear of triangles of love and all ending up in disaster, and so many other relationships ending up in disaster. But even in those illicit love relationships, the person just wants to please the beloved, and yet it is not in the hands of the beloved to please him. And most of the times the person does not even enjoy that relationship, because it is going to end up in disaster. There's nothing but restlessness, anxieties, problems and worries. And especially if the person is a married person, then after that he must prepare for sleepless nights and all kinds of azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala directed at the person. So that is human nature, that the person wants to please his beloved. And if there is someone who is truly beloved, sometimes it is true love of the parents, of the wife, of the children, or the husband or the wife for the husband. If there is true and genuine love within the parameters of Sharia, then they too, the person wants to please the beloved. Any hukam, anything that is ordered by the one who is beloved, the person enjoys the fulfillment of that order and that hukam. So many a times the person will stay awake at night mothers stay awake till late at night. When the child is sick, then look at the sleepless nights that they spend. Why do they spend that? In the love of the child. And the children also, when they make some demands, if those children are beloved, then the parents go out of their way to fulfill those demands. So that is what we term as true love. So when we are going out of our way to make the beloved happy, or we wait for some hukam or some order or some kind of request from the one who is beloved, the person says that I will enjoy eating this, then the person makes sure that he gets something that fulfills that desire of the beloved. Whatever thing is beloved. So like that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who should be our true beloved. Now if Allah ta'ala is giving a hukam that you must fast in the month of Ramadan, so this person who is the lover of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he truly believes that there is nothing but great goodness in this order and command of Allah ta'ala that he is directing. And therefore he enjoys the fulfillment of that hukam and that command. He does not just do it as a duty. As I mentioned many times, we have just become dry worshippers. In other words, even people like us who make our 5-time namaz and we fast in Ramadan and we give our zakat or we go for hajj or we fulfill the rites of some people, then they too, there is nothing but just a fulfillment of a hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Even though that too we must appreciate and we must not consider it as insignificant. But that is not the maqsad. That is just like we have to do it, so what else can we do? The person says, I have to do it, what else can I do? So that is just like a person who is working from 8 to 5, is employed in somebody's business. And now you tell that person, are you enjoying the work that you are doing? He says, no, I don't enjoy it one bit. I just dislike everybody around me there and I don't like that work one bit. They say, then why are you going to work then? He says, what else can I do? I have to go. If I'm not going to go, then how am I going to provide for the children and how am I going to pay the rent, light and water bills? So in other words, he's just doing it without any real enjoyment and without really looking forward to it. But the person who has got true love for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, so then that person does not just do it because if he's not going to do it, he's going to go into the fire of hell. That person looks at Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala first, that look at Allah's fazl and ihsan upon me. He has blessed me with my life, with my health, with my wealth, with my sight, with my hearing, with my speech. It is my Allah who is showering His ni'mat 24 hours of the day. So now the person loves Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And in this love of Allah ta'ala, now he waits for any hukam of Allah ta'ala to come. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. The moment Allah ta'ala says, it is like a secret that is between Allah and His servant. Because iman is something that is in the heart. Nobody can take his iman out from the heart and show it that this is my iman. Tasdeeq bil qalb, that is in, which is necessary for a person to be a believer in Allah Ta'ala, that is in the heart. If a person says, I believe in the oneness of Allah, I believe in His angels, in His books, in the life after death, on the day of judgment, I believe in taqdeer. Now all this is belief which is connected with the heart. Now how can the person take that out and show it to a person that this is my belief? The person can tell us no matter how much he wish, and he can thrill us and convince us that he is believing in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but it's not necessary that he is believing. The munafiqs, the hypocrites used to come to Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam and they say, we believe in Allah ta'ala. We believe in you as the Rasul of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But at heart they were not believers. So like that, a person can say that he is a believer, but it's not necessary that he has got that kind of strong faith and belief in his heart. So when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O ye who have believed, then it means that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is saying, I too know that you are a believer, that whatever my hukam is going to come, whatever my order, whatever my command, then because there is iman in your heart, because there is this belief in your heart that I am your creator, and because there is this love in your heart that I am your creator, I am the one who has blessed you with all what you have. So therefore this hukam, what I am going to give to you, you are not going to find it burdensome, you are not going to find it difficult. There could be some physical pain, some little difficulty, some mujahada the person has to make. But the person will enjoy that mujahada. He will enjoy that sacrifice that he has to make, because it is a hukam that's coming from Allah. And especially this month of Ramadan. We'll be going on discussing the month of Ramadan, because it is an auspicious month. It is the month of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And some have even said, some mufassireen, that Ramadan is one of the names of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Therefore we say Shahru Ramadan, the month of Ramadan. That in the month of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now the very fact that this Jannat is being decorated, the doors are open, the evil shayateen are all chained up, all these things are indicative. It is pointing towards it, that it is a very, very Mubarak month, as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, on the eve of Ramadan, when he addressed the very famous hadith of Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala an, which is the very first hadith recorded by Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya sahab rahmatullahi in his Fazail-e-Ramadan. We should read the Fazail-e-Ramadan. It will give us encouragement to fast properly, to stay away from haram, when we are going to look at the virtues of the month of Ramadan. Now the kuffar, the Yahud, the Mushrikeen, the Nasara, they have got no connection with Ramadan at all. It does not matter what they do in the month of Ramadan, whether they drink, they gamble, or whether they fornicate, or commit adultery, or go to the casinos, discos, rave clubs, whatever they do, their punishment is in the akhirat, it's not in this world. But the Muslim, if he is going to get trapped in all these type of webs, as I always say, there are so many different kinds of webs now, and so many different kinds of nets. The nets and webs are there to trap. What else do we use nets and webs for? So very few webs and nets are there which do not trap us. Otherwise it's M-net, East-net, Shaitan-net, this-net, that-net, so many nets. And on the websites also there's nothing but so much of pornography and so many other things. So the person has to be so much on guard that he does not get trapped in these nets and webs. Now the month of Ramadan is coming in. On the one side there's so much of talk about 2020, the cricket matches that will be taking place. And it's in the month of Ramadan, and right here in our town and our city. Now the people are excited about 2020. So many different teams will be coming. So some places 2020, some places 50-50. Some places it is some other figure. The mother month of Ramadan is coming 30-30. What about that? Every day of Ramadan. So just as we are so much concerned about those cricketers, somebody hitting the ball for a six and somebody getting caught and somebody getting stumped, this month of Ramadan is coming so that we stump that shaitan and nafs, and we catch that nafs and shaitan, and we throw out that nafs and shaitan, and we bowl nafs and shaitan for a six, and we connect ourselves with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now can we just imagine Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's anger, that one side he is saying, I'm sending this Mubarak gift to you this month of Ramadan, and I'm opening the doors of Jannat for you, and I've chained the shayateen for you, and my forgiveness and mercy knows no bounds, and I proclaim myself every night 3 times, is there anybody seeking forgiveness that I may forgive him? Is there anybody seeking pardon that I may pardon him? Is there any person seeking sustenance that I may give him sustenance? I chose this month of Ramadan to reveal the Holy Quran Sharif. This month of Ramadan, the fasting of this month, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that all the other deeds and actions that a person does, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala rewards it, sometimes 10 times and sometimes Allah ta'ala gives up to 70 times, 700 times. But he says, fasting, that is for me. I will give the reward of fasting. So much of love Allah ta'ala is showing. So therefore it is not right that we should be just showing negligence or indifference for this Mubarak month. It is going to be to our detriment then. So we should program ourselves from now. Not wait for the entry of the month of Ramadan. From now we should program ourselves and make up our minds that we want to make this Ramadan the month, the Ramadan which will be the mother of all Ramadans, as I always say. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to stay away from all those places of sin and vices and evils, and make this Ramadan a means of our connection with our Allah. For once we connect ourselves with Him and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the treasures that He opens for us are unlimited. He is the one who is in charge of all the treasures. He has control over all the treasures. So once we get a connection with Allah Ta'ala, we got a connection with His treasures. May Allah Ta'ala give me, give you, and the Ummah the tawfiq of amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.